Hey everyone, welcome back to the Freelance Friday podcast. I am here today with Nina Zeta, who is actually one of my new kind of internet friends, one of my accountability buddies. She's a fellow Thinkific course creator, and she has a really, really cool company called Sidewalker Daily. So I am really excited to bring her to you all. I get so many questions about influencer marketing, and I just am not a pro, and she absolutely is. So welcome, Nina.
Hi, I'm so excited to do this, especially like this year has been great meeting you and like loving everything you do and now being on your podcast. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us about Sidewalker Daily. What does Sidewalker Daily do? How'd you get it started? Give us all the details.
Yeah, it's funny because we made up our name. Like literally the word Sidewalker is a term that we coined. So people always be like, why? What is Sidewalker Daily? And I'm like, well, there's a long story. So we'll give you guys the short one. Sidewalker Daily has been really in the pulse of influencer marketing. I want to say since 2016, that's kind of when we came to be. We really, a little bit like you, Latasha, worked on the brand side, corporate background, working and consulting for PR agencies, helping them understand the value of influencers before really the boom, right? So I think we saw a big shift in the influencer marketing space in 2020 with the pandemic, but before, brands were still understanding, is this something we want to invest in? Is this something we want to do? So working on the client side, on the brand side, we were really able to get our feet wet and get in some really good campaigns, helping our brand clients develop influencer marketing campaigns in all industries and all niches. But with that happening and being in like the brand space, you know, having my MBA, being like, you know, my own marketing agency, loving educating, I found that there was a little bit of a space in the market for creator business acumen, maybe. I don't know what the right word, but like teaching creators the business side. I think that was it, because just being on the client side and brand side, being like, wow, these creators are amazing. They have these audiences. They produce, you know, positive ROI for my clients. They're so talented, but I found like their negotiation skills or maybe even their pitching skills or how they were pricing themselves. Like there was a lack, you know? And I'm like, well, I guess there is no like creator school or like things of that nature.
Yeah. So
we always say we're like on both sides of the creator equation, influencer equation. I use those words interchangeably. Being that we started on brand side, we still consult for our brand clients, but we also now are really focused on helping creators pitch to brands, monetize, think about their businesses as a business, right? So that's kind of a little bit of where we are and how we got started.
Amazing. I love it. And I love that you bring up like influencer versus creator. I feel like we all have different words for it, but they're all kind of, you know, it's one and the same. I'll go with whatever people want to call me, I guess. One of the questions I hear a lot from my audience is like, is it too late to start being an influencer or a creator? Because, you know, some of the most successful people have been at it for a long time, or they were, you know, really there when like YouTube first started or Instagram first kind of hit. So like, what are your thoughts on that? Can you still make money and still do this if you want to get started today?
Yeah, I think and that's a great question. And I get that a lot too. I think you need to always look at the data and look at where the industry is going. And I'm, you know, being kind of a numbers gal myself, like when I see stats that just this year, over 50 million people consider themselves a creator. That statistic is in our industry. When we see the influencer marketing industry being valued at, you know, $16 billion within 2022 and where that number is going, when we see companies that are getting $800 million valuations and investments from VCs in the influencer marketing space, my answer is no, it is not too late. But what I do think is happening is that we're redefining a lot of terminology, right? So like, let's start with some basics. I think when I talk about influencer versus creator, just to kind of set a little bit straight, I see influencers almost like media distribution of eyeballs, right? Impressions, clicks, metrics, all that. And then I also see creators being able to have influence, of course, but then there are some creators that are just, you know, they're more like the artist, the medium, the person that, and they've always existed and they always will, right? So influencer was really born with social. So in terms of it being too late, the answer is obviously no, because now we're seeing dentists use social media to be their own creators. Or I don't know if you follow like dentist TikTok or like doctor TikTok or like all, like, yeah, realtors are creators. Now every brand,
It's flight attendants.
Flight attendants.
That's a big one.
So the whole thing is that I used to be like, creators, you are brands. But now I'm like, brands, you are creators. Like, the worlds are mixing and mushing. That's a made up word. But the worlds are just combining. And social is the new virtual shopping mall. It's how you get seen, right? So maybe you're trying to push, you know, your brick and mortar business, or maybe you're an influencer pushing your audience. I don't think it's too late for anyone to engage in what they probably already do. And it's funny, Latasha, I don't know if you would agree, but I think on social, when you see like behavior, there's people who like post and then there's the people who watch. And then maybe there's people who do both, but like personally, I always joke, I'm like, oh yeah, like I post for business, but like in my personal life, I'm like more of a, like a watcher, you know, like I like and comment, but I'm not like posting my personal stuff. And I think the shift is happening when people ask, is it too late? Because they're in that mindset of, oh, I just watch others do it. Like, but I myself, why would I do that? You know, and they don't know where their role is. So the market's really booming. It's exciting. There's so much tech. There's so much signals. My last little point on those that feel like, oh, it's too late. Like when Instagram launches a creator fund for like $1 billion, it's a big sign that it's not too late. It actually shows where it goes. Like every time Instagram releases a new creator tool to monetize, I'm just like, red flag, ding, 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 ding. Like you know, all the alerts that actually motivate me and telling people that the time is now, you know, the time is now.
I love that. And just like to add on to that, I mean, I have friends who just started being content creators, you know, this year and have more followers than me because they were early on the TikTok train or whatever, you know? So yeah, absolutely. I definitely think there's space depending on what you want to do. Speaking of that, like, I'm curious too, because I know you've worked a lot with travel companies and things like that, and like tourism boards. Do you feel like there is a particular niche that might be maybe more lucrative than others? Like if somebody were looking to start creating, is there a space that you feel like is more lucrative?
I think, again, it comes to the data, like the Influencer Marketing Hub, they just released a benchmark report and there are different verticals, or like fashion and beauty. And then like, I don't know, another one. And I think travel is the third vertical, like in third place. But I don't necessarily know. I think I would have said, yes, there's these typical broader niches, lifestyle niches, you know, in that space. But like, again, when a realtor is now partnering with, you know, creating realtor TikTok content or YouTube videos, and they're partnering with brands, I mean, it's really just changed my perception. Some of my most successful creators that I've helped pitch to brands are nurses, like nurses, or I have a furniture maker. He like literally just makes custom furniture. And now he tells me that his, you know, work with brands is more in 1 week than he made in a year. So it's like,
oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So it's, I know people want to know like, what niche is it for me? But like, I've seen literally every niche I've worked with, scholarship creators on TikTok, like they're promoting how to get scholarships. Like, I don't think I have a mermaid. I mean, literally I've seen it all. So I don't think there is now, we need to be in these traditional categories, but it's really about develop, you know, giving value to your audiences.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Like, I think like,
we're in the entrepreneurship niche. Are
exactly.
You? And now, like, we work with brands. I mean, we're the perfect example.
Yeah. No, I love that. And because it's like, you have to do what makes sense for you. I mean, I know that might sound so cliche, but it's like, if I go out and try to be a beauty creator or a travel creator, like, and that's not true to me, that's not authentic to me and my lifestyle, it's not, there's going to be a disconnect. Like, you're going to be able to tell that I'm kind of pretending or trying to fit into this mold to make money, as opposed to I'm really passionate about helping entrepreneurs. So it comes across really naturally.
And you know what is also really great? And so just to preface, like my passion, specialty, signature sauce right now is helping creators pitch. So you'll hear me reference that a lot. I love teaching creators how to pitch to brands, how to be like their own, you know, create their own business identities and pitch and all that good stuff. But what's interesting is that you can pitch outside of your niche, right? So like we don't have to now only pitch like me and you, arguably, in the entrepreneur marketing niche. Like, there are editorial ways for us to get pulled into other campaigns that aren't just within the scope of the things that people come to our channels for, you know, your YouTube channel or my YouTube channel. And we're seeing a lot of, like, I don't want to say cross-pollination, but just like pitching outside of our niches. Like, we're seeing it happen because they're done in really creative ways. And an example I'll give is, like, let's just say there's a mom blogger and she's going to be pitching a KitchenAid, you know, blender. She's going to talk about it from the microphone of, you know, as a stay-at-home mom, I'm here with the kids, like, we're making, like, I don't know, fresh something, smoothies. And you are going to talk about it in a different way. Like, as women who work, you know, 12-hour days, we need to be able to, like, make quick things to go on the go. Like, we're going to still be able to talk about the blender. It's just, like, in a different microphone than maybe a mom blogger or fitness blogger. Like, we can all talk about the blender. It's just, how are we talking about it, right?
Yep. I love that. I'm manifesting a travel partnership because I want to do, like, a retreat, like a writing retreat or something. Like, I feel like I could totally do that, you know, from the business angle.
So when we think about that pitch, it's like, okay, how do we go to that brand partner and say, hey, I have an audience of, you know, maybe people with higher disposable income who are not only going to come on my trip, but when they see us post about it, you know, can understand that your resort is great for solitary, like, getting creative work done. I mean, it's just thinking about it in this way, right? So
you're good at this.
I'm passionate about it, so I keep going.
I love it. So you kind of tied into my next question, to pitch or not to pitch. Like, again, this is a question I get all the time. Do people, should we be going after brands? Should we be just building up our audience and waiting for them to come to us? Like, what are your thoughts on that? And specifically, is there a certain threshold? Like, is there like a follower count or an engagement rate that you should wait till you get to before you start reaching out to brands?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So I'm going to answer that one sec. The first part of your question was to pitch or not to pitch. Okay, so I'm going to tackle that one first. So it's interesting to me, because obviously I have a pitching to brands master course. So I really do teach about the necessity of going out there and, like, putting yourself out there, knocking on the doors. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take type of energy. Like, you literally never know. So, like, leaving money on the table, I'm very pro pitch, but I also think that it does come with a certain level of confidence that is not a follower count thing. That is just a headspace thing. Like, I have creators with 1,000 followers, or a creator that had 3,000 followers at the time get a $20,000 brand deal with a tourism board, 3,000 followers. So, like,
amazing.
That is some mindset. Like, I'm going to knock on doors. We also have a mini course, which is how to get brands to notice you. And I kind of think this is like a stepping stone course. It's for those that don't want to actively pitch, but, like, want brands to reach out to them. They're still not fully in that headspace. But I 100% believe that you don't know unless you don't, you know, you try type of vibe. And I'm always going to encourage the creators that are looking to work with brands to pitch. But here's a thing, Latasha, that I think is super important and something that I just kind of, like, in general, I don't think it's my job to get someone to believe in themselves. So a lot of the times, that's just, like, not my role in the space. There's really great motivational coaches out there and people who can, like, get you feeling like you're on cloud nine. My whole shtick is kind of like, if you want this, and you already know you want to monetize this way, I will help you get there. So it's hard because I'm not very, like, I don't handhold in the, you can do it, like, type of energy where I'm already like, if you want this, like, let's do it. Like, I'm going to give you all of me, but, like, you have to, like, want this energy. And that's why the followers, people that come into my program with 1,000 followers, 2,000 followers, they want it. They don't care. But let's talk about numbers and threshold and all of that, because I do think it's important. So as a creator, you will have to kind of, in the very beginning, when you're first starting, kind of decide, what are you pitching with? What foot are you leading with? And when I say that, I mean, are you pitching content and you're going to a brand and saying, hey, I can create content for you, whether it be reels or TikToks or videos for your account, blog content for your account, whatever. That doesn't need a follower count. That just needs some good solid skills. Like, I don't know if you've seen those, like, really cool, like, reels and things of that nature. That's just content.
Yeah.
So for me, there's no follower count in that. If your stuff looks good, if you have a portfolio of work, you know, a good looking media kit that shows your scope of work, what you can do, I don't think we need numbers. Now, if you're pitching influence, what you're saying to the brand is, I have the audience that you want. Mm-hmm. And my audience trusts me. Therefore, I'm the funnel that is going to talk about your messaging to my human. Yep. So if you're pitching influence, I always tell creators, do you have influence? Like, is there a way for you to kind of measure the clicks or the ways that people jump when you tell them to? When I say jump, it's figuratively, but like, is there some sort of conversion that you're able to show? And the best way to do that is testing your influence. So if you are like, hey, I think I have the human, right? Have the audience that this brand would be perfect for. If you're going to pitch influence, it's not a numbers game. It's a conversion game. Are you able to get people to show up to a Zoom room, or are you getting people to subscribe to a newsletter? And if you don't know, fake test it, make it up, do your own giveaway, do your own, like, see how many people sign up to a newsletter, your own newsletter after promoting it on your YouTube channel. And you're like, oh, wow, 150 people signed up. Like, you know, now you have some data that you can kind of feel confident in that pitch. Because again, a big part of the pitch is confidence. We don't talk about that enough, but it's like having the mindset of being like, actually, brand, you're not doing me any favors. I'm not doing you any favors. It's a win-win. Like, we are in business to help each other. You have something I want. I got something you want. Like, let's make it happen, you know?
Oh my gosh. I love that, because I recommend that for people looking to get started with service, you know, providing services too. It's like, if you want to be a social media manager, create a cool Instagram account about makeup or, you know, whatever it is, like, be your own kind of test dummy there. So I think that's such a brilliant point about start a newsletter, have a, you know, mastermind or something, like invite people to a Zoom or an event and see if they actually go over there.
You can use your own data to be like, oh, I did a giveaway and like 300 people signed up. Like, that's awesome. Like, I know a lot of my brand partners, when I'm on the brand side, me jumping over to the brand side, when we would do campaigns, we were looking for influencers to help grow the client's list. So they're like, oh, subscribe to, you know, our newsletter. And that was the metric. Because when you run ads to grow your email list, you're looking at about maybe $5 an email. So like, brands are thinking in this way. They're like, okay, instead of putting budget into ads, like, maybe I can put into this creator and she can help, like, or he can help me, you know, generate leads, whatever. Yeah. So I think that a lot of times when creators are pitching their influence and their audience, it's so important to know who your human is. Like, who is it that, you know, you're going to? Because when the brand wants that person or that demographic, like, that's when you're golden, because you have what they want and those people actually trust you, because it's all about trust, right?
Yeah. Love that. You kind of spoke to this a little bit, but, you know, which analytics should you be paying attention to and reporting to when you are pitching? You mentioned, like, you know, conversion rate. Anything else? I think we get so stuck on follower count. And I know that for me, that's like such a vanity metric. But what's important to you?
We all love it. Like, we all love, I just posted a TikTok before getting, like, as I was in the waiting room, I'm like, go. I think at the end of the day, the brands need to see what they can't see just from looking at your screen, right? So, like, back in the day in 2016, 2018, people were like, follower count, engagement rate. Like, I don't think those are the things that are leading campaigns right now. Again, brands want to be able to see other metrics, especially when you're pitching. So I strongly suggest in every creator needs to have a media kit where they can showcase this sort of information when you're pitching influence and you're saying, hey, like, this is, you know, my newsletter, this is my open rate, this is like my click-through rate on my YouTube, you know, channel, my average, things like that. I think when it comes, every platform is so different, because people that are listening to us today, Latasha, and it's really something that I find happening often, people want to clump it into one. Are we talking Instagram? Are we talking TikTok? Are we talking YouTube? Are you because depending on the platform that you're at, there's a wealth of metrics that you can dig within. So one thing I always tell creators is the importance of doing the digging, right? So thinking of numbers cumulatively is a great way to kind of share a metric. So if you have followers across like three different platforms, if you're like, oh, I have, you know, a cumulative following of X, this is like adding up that number. Or if you are sharing with a brand, you know, maybe if you're pitching, and like, this is talking about pitching and getting a brand's attention, not in reporting, but in getting their attention, you know, you may want to say, what were your cumulative TikTok views for the last 30 days? TikTok gives you that information. You go over to Creator Tools Analytics, you look at last 28 days, you're going to see your views. I was shocked. I'm like, oh my God, we had 300,000 views in a month. I have 2,000 followers on TikTok. Like, oh, that's quite crazy.
Amazing.
So you want to like look at things in that 30-day scope. Even on YouTube, we have, you know, 21,000 subscribers, which if I was to pitch with that, maybe a brand would be like, oh, like they're starting. But we've had, what, 5 million lifetime views? So like finding those lifetime views or finding those 30-day views, like these cumulative numbers, what were your average monthly impressions on your Instagram page? So thinking about things like that in a bigger way helps creators when they're pitching. But also something to note that I think is important when it comes to reporting, there are metrics that I think show that your content will live a little bit longer. So a lot of my brand clients want to work with Instagrammers and TikTokers, YouTubers as well. So there's no like hate on anyone. but we look for different things on different platforms. So like, for example, on Instagram, like we love saves and we love because it gives a post a longer shelf life. So for example, if you save a piece of content, this is actually an indicator that you're going to come back to it. And because maybe it was super valuable, it listed like things to do, whatever. So that's a really interesting metric. Brands don't get to see that unless you like share that. On TikTok, you can see the shares. Same thing. I saw like my videos on TikTok get shared a bunch. And I don't think we would have known that unless we went in and like looked at like, oh, what are our monthly shares? To be able to go to a brand and say, hey, actually look at these shares. Like my content's shareable. Like people enjoy it. They want to share it with their friends. And again, like those are the things that kind of require that business mindset, like getting the creators to think about themselves more as a business and less as a like, here are my followers. And like, these are the likes because we're past that. But creators are like literally financially killing it and being their own businesses. So we're past the days of followers and likes. Like we got to dig deeper, you know?
Yeah. And you have to like be an analyst, you know, and be able to sort of massage that data in a way that is relevant to the brand. You don't want to just print off your analytics. Here you go, brand, like make it tell a story. I mean, that's the same thing for social media management.
Yeah. And that's one thing, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is that report. Like, let's talk about that report. I'm sure you guys, you know, with your social media managers, you're saying, hey, show the client, like, this is what we got for the month, right?
Yep.
It's the same thing as a creator. If you're able to show your brand client, like, this is a report, not print screens of all my backends, but like, this is a report, how the content did, and use that as a leveraging tool to pitch a bigger job, a bigger idea, not a one and done partnership. Because those are the ones that just kind of fade. But when we're looking to add this as a revenue stream, like we need brands that are partnering with us for a 3-month block or 6-month block or things like that. So that reporting is important to show also your professionalism, but also like your value.
For sure. And to add on to that, like your audience needs those repeat sponsors too, because I know it takes me a while, you know, before I hear a brand name or I hear about a company before I actually take action. So it really is a win-win to be selling like those packages and have those long-term relationships.
Yeah. We call that the recall posts, right? So we'll be like recall to your audience, like in 3 months or 6 months, like so that they remember, because I think a lot of people have a misconception about influencer marketing. It's a magic wand. You're going to like put an influencer is going to post something and your business is going to be shut down. And it just does not work that way. You know, to your point, it takes nurturing, mentioning multiple times to really kind of drive that messaging in. And it's setting those like also like expectations with the brands that you're working with. That's why it's nice to have like those longer working packages, so to speak.
Absolutely. You mentioned quickly, just for anyone who doesn't know, you mentioned media kits, and I know that you talk about that, you know, in depth in your programs, but can you just give us like a little 101 on what a media kit is for those that don't know?
Yes, absolutely. So I call the media kit the visual resume. So back in the day when you would apply to jobs, you would have your resume and it was a 1 or 2 pager, and you know, it was very full of text, as it should be, of what you are capable of. But in the creator world, we need to be able to show our work. We need to be able to show what we can do for you. So a media kit is meant to be for us, revenue generating asset. It's a document, but it's supposed to be making you money because it's supposed to be what you use as a pitching tool. It's almost like if you started a business, you need like materials to get new business, right? And I think when creators start looking at themselves as businesses and the brands that they're trying to pitch to as clients, and you know, you need something to share your work, a little bit about you, those metrics, content that you've done. So in terms of a media kit, well, for one, our YouTube channel, we have so many videos on this topic, but the media kit is meant to be a comprehensive visual document that shares the work that you do and the value that you can give to a brand partner. In terms of what to quickly include, you know, we definitely want an about in there. Quick, people are skimmers, not a lot of reading, guys. No one reads everything. And the funny thing about the about is, like, I'll have creators in my program and they're like, I was a teacher in Wyoming and then I fell in love with, I'm like, no. Like, the brand does not need to know the backstory. Lean on your audience, you know, lean on your content pillars and your niche. Like, who, when you're writing your about, because it's in your media kit, it's not to your audience, it's to the brands you want to work with. So that's just like a little thing to consider. And then, yes, including your metrics, like the ones that aren't visible on the front end, cumulative stats, past partnerships, if you have, if you don't, that's okay. You can have a page where you share your sample content. So for you, Latasha, it would be like, these are some of maybe my best performing YouTube videos and the content that I like talk about, and making it clickable so the brand partner can quickly go and see you on camera and how you present. You can include a services page if you want, or there's no one way to make a media kit, right? There's the key word I would say is visual, because really what you want is someone to get your media kit and kind of lean over to their person and be like, Hey, Sarah, look at this. Like, wow, this person looks like legit, you know? And I think graphic design and branding, like, you can go on Canva and build an amazing presentation about yourself, right? And it just gets people to kind of be like, huh, yeah, media kits are no longer an option. They used to be. In 20, you know, where we are now, they are like a standard as a pitching tool.
Amazing. And I didn't mention this in the beginning, but Sidewalker Daily does have a YouTube channel. So of course that will be linked. I'll definitely find some of the media kit episodes and link them.
Oh yes. I have like long ones that literally say, this is what you want. And like, what, you know, all the things.
So. Nice. Awesome. Okay. So big question. I know this is a tough one. How do you know what the heck to charge?
Like, you know what? This is great. So, and I get this so much. So I will give you the big picture here. So, and you correct me when I'm wrong, but if I'm wrong, but I'm sure in the social media management world, people will be like, okay, well, how much is it for a social media manager? And your response would probably be like, well, do you need me to just do Pinterest, or is it Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? Like, do I need to respond to comments, or are you going to respond? Like, are you providing the photos, or am I shooting them? Like, so when we talk about pricing and influencer and creator marketing, I like creators to think about their businesses holistically. So for example, there is no rate, like what your rate is. It depends on what the brands want. So I'll give you an example. A creator I'm working with, she works with brands in a variety of different ways. She produces content for them. She posts on her own page about them. And sometimes she stands in as talent, which means she doesn't even have to produce the content. Her and her family are like literally talent. They just show up. They already have like the production team already has like everything covered. As you can imagine, all those fees are different, right? If a brand comes to you and says, okay, no, I just want sponsored content, I still think that there are fees that we need to discuss. Like, I've seen brands want exclusivity with an influencer for 6 months outside of maybe a 2 week norm. 6 months. And then what type of exclusivity? Like, are we talking maybe five competitors or an entire category? Yeah. Right. So if you don't want me to ever work with like any other clothing brand, the category of clothing, what does that fee look like? So a lot of what we talk about in our Pitching to Brands Master Course, we go super deep into rates, because I think that we have to give examples of licensing a photo is, again, a very different fee than like a full-on photo shoot, or if you're, you know, influence. One thing I can share for influence, because people ask, there are different formulas people on the marketing side will use to value like impressions. So this is called like a CPM. So a CPM can be anywhere from $20, $30, $40 an impression from 1,000 impressions. So those numbers are guiding points in terms of how to do the math. For me, that's just how I get like what the eyeball is worth. But again, it's not enough, because then I always think, okay, if let's just say Latasha shoots a video in her room or in her office saying, hey, work with this brand. It's very different if she's in Times Square doing a time lapse, showing an 8-hour day as an entrepreneur. Like, that production is a very different production cost. Again, something we need to consider in our rate. So I can't give you a one time, but I can help you think critically about how to price yourself. And one thing I always tell creators, because this is like a sharp little ick, but oftentimes if you give your rate and a brand accepts it on the first time, a lot of times creators will be like, oh, like I got gypped, or I should have asked for more. You know, I hear that a lot. So expect negotiation. Expect it, because let's just say you want to make a certain amount of money. If that's the number that you offer and they bring you down, you're going to be like feeling shit. So like negotiation is hard. I feel so bad for creators because they have to do everything, like like salespeople negotiate and create content, all the things. And that's why sometimes you bring people on your team to help you. But rule of thumb is, I think, expect to negotiate. It's not scary. It's actually like, the more you do it, the more you get to flex and kind of feel good. And, you know, but I would expect it. And that can help also when you are like reaching out to brands and sending your pricing and stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice, because, you know, I think the key there is that there are variables. Like, it depends. There is not, you know, you see some of these articles that are like, okay, if you have 1,000 followers, you charge this much. And it's like, that's maybe a starting point. But there are so many different variables, like you said. Like, and I think that's important.
This question's hard for me, Latasha. I'm sorry to cut you off. This question's hard for me because when I'm on, like, I'm kind of like, if I'm on the brand side, it's different than I'm on the creator side. So everyone's always like, you're trying to be Switzerland, like, you know, and it really comes down to not how much you can get away with, but like, you know, you don't know what the person in your desk job was able to negotiate for her deal, like her, you know, her salary, right? Like, everyone gets paid differently based on different things. People just don't talk about it. And even if people want clarity around pricing, which of course that would be great to have some sort of transparency, you know, if a brand is looking for a very specific look, like they would a model, I mean, maybe the pool is different, you know? So people charge for more, like in our niches, if you're in a very hyper, you know, small niche, you may be able to charge more because there's not as many, again, things to consider and the variables of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. So we talked a little bit about repeat sponsors. What are some things, once you secure that brand deal, what are some things that creators can do to like increase their chances of working together again and really stand out and be a good partner to work with?
Yes, I love this, because this goes back to what we kind of opened up with, which was my love, I guess, or passion for trying to get creators to see themselves as businesses. And I think a lot of times in these partnerships, what will happen is the creator will post their deliverables and be like, thank you so much, you know, and that's it. Maybe send a print screen of their analytics. Is this creator going to take about, you know, maybe 30 minutes more, an hour more to put together that recap report, ask the brand, hey, could you get on a call? You know, I'd love to go over like the campaign, any feedback. Maybe the influencer is asking for a testimonial, you know, these little things that they may want to do to add to their media kit. But then what? Like, how do we then, to your question, keep that conversation going? And I think this is part of the beauty of getting on a call and going back to your brand partner and asking them, like, what are you guys working on this time? Like, I'd love to, like, you know, set up a call, share with you guys, you know, maybe some ideas of things I'm working on. One of the things when creators pitch, and this is just one of the many strategies I cover in our course, but it's like, do you want to get a brand to sponsor something you are already working on? So like, let's just say you're already working on something, or you have a, I don't know, a series that you're launching and you're looking for a sponsor for this series. So like for you, Latasha, let's just say you're going to be doing 10 videos on your YouTube channel about tools, like resources. And maybe you go to the sponsor with a concept in mind, with a vision in mind for a next idea. Also, sometimes it's just getting on that call and listening, seeing what they're working on, seeing what's coming down the pipeline for them, how you can be of value. What do they need more of? So as a businesswoman, man, person, it's to take that lead in that recap, send those emails, get back on calls, And another fun tip that I love to share is just kind of like updating the brand, right? Like if something new has happened in your business and you want to share with them a new avenue, like let's just say you start a TikTok and you have a new, you know, something new to offer them, right? Or you hit a milestone on your YouTube page and you want to jump on a call and see, you know, whatever. It's important to go back to your hot leads, because if they've paid you once, the chances of getting them to pay you again is a lot easier than pitching cold biz, right? So we have to focus on hot and warm leads when we are pitching to brands, going back to those clients and being a good person. If you work hard, you over deliver, you are memorable, you're easy to work with, they will remember you. And people on the PR side jump around. So
yes,
go to different companies. You know, I've worked with the same sort of creators a bunch of times with my brand clients, because I'm like, I know this person will deliver quality work, trustworthy, you know, results, all of it.
Love it. Yeah, I think that is fantastic advice. And the last thing I want to ask you about is we hear this term. I feel like this is like a newer term of the past year or so. You know, there's always like this marketing lingo. You hear creator economy. Like people are very much talking about, you know, Web3 and how creators are going to fit into that, and like owning versus working with brands and selling their own products. Like I said, we are both, you know, course creators ourselves as well. What are your predictions for the creator economy? Like, and what would you recommend for your creators that work with you? You know, do you think that they should be building onto this, or, you know, instead of just relying on brand partnerships? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think the biggest, and I think we kind of touched on this, is like the biggest thing that I guess I predict or foresee is this blurring of brands now being creators and creators now being brands. Because again, that stat of 50 million people consider themselves creators, I'm sure by the next couple of 5 years, it's going to be like everyone's going to be a creator in some capacity. Building their own brands. It's really, really interesting how things are shaping out. In terms of monetization and kind of not sticking to one thing. So I think pitching to brands, and again, you'll never hear me tell people quit your job, like, you know, glamorize that, because it's not fun. Yeah. The nurse that has had tons of success with our program, she's an ICU nurse. She's like, I'm never quitting my job. Like, I love being a nurse. She's like, it's just nice that I get to make an extra five figures, you know, a year for working with brands in my field. But I do think that from a monetization perspective, it is always safe to diversify your income and having like multiple like things to fall back on. One thing about working for brands that a lot of creators find after they work with a lot and they start working with less, but at a higher quality. So like one brand partnership a month or one every 3 or 4 months, but these are like these bigger campaigns. We're seeing a lot more of that. And I think also like in terms of developing your own swag, I'll be honest, like I think that where we're at right now, people are still really excited about working with brands. Like the creators that come to me and they're like, Nina, I want to pitch. They're not even thinking about swag and merch and courses and creating tangible goods or memberships. Like they're not there yet. You know, both of us have a membership program and we both work with brands and we have courses and we have so many streams, but we're also like, I want to say deep in it. When you're first starting off, it's a little overwhelming. Like I didn't have all these revenue sources when I first started. I built it brick by brick. We just started working with brands ourselves last year, which is so meta to think about, right? So I don't like to overwhelm people with monetization, because I do think it kind of creates a false narrative of like, you need to have multiple income streams. But in the beginning, you need to focus on doing one thing and one thing well before you add to yourself, because it just gets overwhelming and then that's burnout and all the things. I don't know. That's just kind of like a personal little touch to it.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's great advice. I agree. I was just talking about this actually, again, meta, in my membership community. Someone was asking me about memberships and I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. Memberships are the hardest part of my business. It's been the hardest thing for me to figure out. So it's not, we talk about this, you know, it's challenging.
How can we do it all at once, right? So like, how can we, I think it's nice to know, like, these are the different ways to be like aware of things. But I think that the best advice I've ever gotten from anyone is just like specialization in the beginning. Even before we jumped on TikTok, like, we really had to get YouTube like locked in. And I say that people, I'm sure with you, like, how do I do all these platforms? And you're like, look, just focusing, doing one really well. And then when you feel like you got your groove, add another. It's kind of the same with monetization. So to not like burn yourself out, because working for yourself is very hard and not glamorous and a lot of work. So
yeah, especially if you want to do it right, like we said, and get these repeat brands, you need to do it like all the way. It shouldn't just be checking a box and like, okay, now on to the next thing. Like, do it right.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think one of the biggest takeaways I try to think about for brand partnerships, because I work on both sides, is really the mindset of the creator or influencer, whatever, however you want to call it, giving value. So I think there's been a little bit of a narrative going around, like, oh, I'm sure there's like influencers who are like freeloaders or influencers who, you know, use their influence in a negative way to get free stuff or things of that nature. I've heard a lot of that. And I think that it just comes down to value. Like, are you providing value to your brand clients, your brand partners? Because if you are thinking about it in that capacity, it helps you kind of understand, like, I am actually, you know, not outside of the numbers, but the work that I do is valuable. And as long as you kind of always lead with that from a good, honest place, I think that's really where I'm hoping things will shift. We're creators again, seeing themselves as business owners, like almost their own agencies, where they're going to start hiring people and scaling and doing it from a place of like service to their client versus like post be out, see you never, you know, how do you actually bring those results and brainstorm with them?
I love it. Okay. So helpful. I feel like I've learned so much. So before we go, please tell everyone where they can find you. Tell us a little bit more. You've mentioned, you know, the masterclass a little bit, but tell us a little bit more about what services you offer and how they can work with you.
Thank you. So we're on all the platforms, a Sidewalker Daily, except our podcast that's called Influencer Confidential. And we also have a podcast. So you can find us on the podcast at Influencer Confidential, and then YouTube, TikTok, website, Sidewalker Daily, blog, all the things, Pinterest. It's too much. In terms of how to work with us, if you are interested in pitching, we do have our signature Pitching a Brand's Master course. This course is really dedicated on two parts of the equation. So first, pitching, and then the second being all the materials you need. So we like teach you how to make a media kit, but we also show you inside the media kit of 9 other creators. We teach you how to build those case studies or those proposals. When you're pitching big business, you need a proposal, right? So we teach you how to make those, but we also show you examples. So the media kit section of the course is very visual. It's very like, it's really about creating all the assets that you need. And then the pitching course comes with all the pitching, not templates. They're not templates. They're pitch examples. So you can learn from example, all the things you need to learn about how to either find the right contact or brands to work with, what to put inside your pitch, all that good stuff. So that's our Pitching to Brands Master course. Our Stepping Stone course, which is a little bit, it's way smaller. The Pitching to Brands Master course is like 11 hours. It's crazy. But we have a How to Get Brands to Notice You course. This is a mini course. This is for those that aren't pitching, but want to get brands to reach out to them. They're like still not ready. It's kind of just like a little bit of a stepping stone. It's a mini course. And I think it's really great for those that are kind of just still getting started, but not ready to pitch, but want brands to reach out to them. So we put that together.
Amazing. Yeah. And I have had experience with these. I've taken, you know, dabbled into all of these different courses that you offer, and they're so good. Like, seriously, amazing quality. I just think you're so good at explaining things to people and like teaching in a way that is accessible. And so I definitely love them. They'll be linked in the show notes if anyone wants to check them out, as well as all of the Sidewalker Daily socials. So thank you again, Nina. Really appreciate your time today. And I know my audience is going to take some value from this. So thanks again.
Thank you. This has been awesome. I'll hope to talk to you soon. Yeah.